Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very, very special edition of the Tragic Rugby League Report on the eve of Origin 1 for 2023. It is my utmost pleasure to bring a debutant from off the bench. Now, he's a man of legend. Seriously, he's just got, like, words cannot describe this man. I'm so excited to welcome to the Tragic Rugby League Report. He's been asking me for years to come on, and since Zach has ditched the pod, we finally had a spot for him. Mr. Sean Eberhardt, everyone.
Yeah. Let's go. Hello.
Thank you, boys. Welcome. Appreciate it. I'm excited. Always wanted to do one, and I finally get a chance to show off my severely lacking knowledge.
I thought you were saying the break room. You said you were very keen because, like, we don't know what we're talking about.
Now, Sean is known for a hot take. If there's one thing the man will do, he'll give you his thoughts and he doesn't mince his words. For those of you who don't know Sean, he is a part-time Tigers supporter, but when they're struggling, he jumps codes to the AFL most of the time. Is it Collingwood you've been supporting recently, Sean?
Collingwood, I've always supported Collingwood and the Tigers. The Tigers are my favourite team in the world, James. You know that.
I do know that. So Sean does keep an eye on his rugby league, despite his woes with the Tigers over the years, and he also is very into his fantasy rugby league. He's currently leading the comp, and he makes sure that all of us know it. So yeah, it's pretty impressive that he's been waiting in the wings this long, and he's kept himself ready, much like Tremaine Spry is for the Titans. He's keeping himself warm for that call up that may or may never come.
Yeah, but unlike Sean, it will never come.
Yeah, Tremaine's not getting that call up anytime soon, is he?
Yeah, no. But yeah, Sean, just quickly on that, like, obviously you're a Tigers fan, so there's now two of us on the podcast. Just quickly, how do you reckon the Tigers season has went so far from your estimation, assuming that you've watched every game? Like, I know you definitely have.
I think they definitely started off unsure of how they would work together. Mm-hmm. And really struggled to put the pieces together. But I have to say, I think since we played Parramatta on Easter Monday, was at round 6, I believe. I don't think they've looked terrible as a team. Like, yes, they haven't won every game, but they've been in most contests. They've defended really well. They've had a few games, especially the week before, where our attack really shone. So I think they're kind of piecing it together, and I'm excited for what they can bring this second half of the season. I think there'll be a run, maybe not towards the finals, but at least towards hopefully the top half of the bottom eight.
Yep. That's the goal, isn't it? To not be in the worst half of the bottom eight. That would be such an achievement compared to last season. But yeah, obviously me and Rutkin, we went into kind of detail about what we thought of the Origin teams last week. Just what are your quick thoughts on the selections for the Blues in Queensland that kind of caught your eye?
Quick thoughts. I thought straight off the bat, Reece Walsh at fullback was a risky choice by Queensland. Considered Ponga is a tried and proven Origin player. I'm surprised Gagai was also omitted. I think he has done nothing to lose that jersey. He's had a pretty solid season this year. So we'll see how that plays out this series. I think he'll eventually get a call back. Aside from that, everything else in the Queensland side I thought was pretty expected. No real surprises for me there. Over onto the New South Wales side, I'm glad Hudson Young has got a call-up. I think he'll have a good series.
Agreed.
Jerome Luai at 6, while not my preferred choice, I would have personally chosen Hines. I think that it was probably always going to be given a chance. And obviously, Tevita Pangai Jr. is a giant mystery of how this one will play out. But I am keen to see what he can bring and hopefully does bring for us.
I don't know, Rutkin, but I'm actually the most excited about Tevita Pangai Jr. play, just purely because I think there's going to be something that we're going to be talking about on Thursday after Wednesday's game.
I'm very excited for Tevita. I think it's going to be such a massive talking point. I have a feeling it could be underwhelming and he doesn't have a brain explosion and he just sort of plays okay. And I have a feeling he won't be the talking point in the game because I don't think he's going to be the reason if Queensland, because if Queensland win, I feel like the talking point's going to be about like what changes do we make? And I think it'll be largely to do with our bench because I think that's when Queensland are potentially going to pull away from us. Or if we win, I don't think anyone's going to be complaining about Tevita. So I don't know how much of a talking point it's going to be. Don't get me wrong, I'm very excited to see, and I do really hope that there's going to be a punch up or two. Just to comment quickly on the Gagai not being selected, I was a little bit iffy about this because there's clearly a reason that Billy's gone with him. Like, Billy Slater is a very smart coach. I don't know if you guys heard this, but apparently he swapped the sides that Holmes and the Hammer are defending on now that Latrell's out, which I find really interesting. I'm not sure if that's saying that he thinks that the Hammer is a better defensive option than Holmes is.
So the Hammer defended... Do you remember that game they played on the Gold Coast? I think it was 2021, where the Hammer played center. I think it was his debut game. It was a dead rubber, but he did Mark Tarbo, and he did a pretty good job that game. Right. So I think that's the reasoning, because he's kind of done it before. It's completely different circumstances this time, because it's a game one, and like New Zealand haven't won the series yet.
You just wouldn't expect that the coach would just switch two players so quickly, like a week into Origin camp. But I'm interested to see how it would go. I would think, like, I mean, again, I don't know as much as Billy Slater, but I would have imagined that Holmes would be a better defender than the Hammer, who's used to defending at fullback or on the wing, not necessarily at center. But maybe it's a speed thing. Maybe it's to rush up and not give him any space to move. Maybe it's a line speed decision.
I think the Hammer is like slightly bigger than people give him credit for. Like, I remember seeing a photo in the Queensland Maroons camp, and he was next to Pat Carrigan, and like, he honestly looked nearly as tall as him. So I think that like slight frame might make him appear smaller than he is. But I agree with you. I think the center was such a point where we just had such a clear advantage over them, where we could really exploit it. And that kind of brings me to my next point of, it's really, I can't really remember such a time where injuries seem to have played such a big part going into game one. So obviously Payne Haas, it's rumored that he picked up an ankle injury, I believe, last week. I think it was around the Friday training session. It looks like he'll be fine to play. He's pulled up, he's training now. But Latrell Mitchell is pulled out of this game with a calf injury. Sean, just how big a blow is this for New South Wales?
I think it is a huge blow. I think way back when he was dropped the first time, you know, he was dropped for a reason. But he came back the next year, and I think, you know, he really proved that, you know, he is an important part of this team, and he can fire in the big moments. And I think we'll miss the aggression and just his energy that he'll bring. While I think Stephen Crichton is a fabulous player, I don't think he brings the same aggression, energy to his game that Latrell Mitchell does. And I think that could really hinder the Blues if we were to, you know, fall behind, or it is a tight contest.
Yeah, Rutkin, I think Sean just kind of alluded to it there. Like, Crichton, he's such a safe pair of hands. Like, he's such a good athlete. He's so safe. He's good in defense and attack. He's not really going to let you down, but he just doesn't really have that X factor that Latrell brings, does he?
Not yet, and I would prefer to have Latrell, but I'm not completely off. Do you guys remember last year before Crichton played? Crichton came off the first game in Origin off the bench, so at 14, and it was a similar thing to Nicho Hynes. Now everyone was going, as if he's not starting, like he should start for sure. So he played one game off the bench. I feel like he played two games off the bench and one starting, and he didn't have the best series, but it was his first series, and often people don't dominate immediately when they come to Origin. So I think there are a lot of growing pains for him there. I'm expecting him to have a better series than last series. I think a lot of people, when it comes to Origin, they go, okay, that guy was tested out at Origin. Like, I don't think anyone's ever going to be asking for Katoni Staggs to come back. You know, like, Origin is such an arena where if you're not really good and contributing immediately, people move on from you really quickly, especially as a outside back. X factor, like players like James Roberts, Katoni Staggs, historically, if they don't come into the team and they don't dominate, people go like, you never hear them mentioned again, and no one will want them. And I feel like it's so funny that last year everyone wanted Crichton in the team, and then I can't remember, it was one, he definitely came one game off the bench, maybe two, and yeah, he didn't dominate and he didn't have the best series, and he had a few moments like Munster stole the ball off him. I think he had a few untimely errors. But he is still young, and I think that he could prove to be a real asset. obviously he's being compared to Latrell Mitchell, and you'd rather Latrell than him any day of the week. Latrell's one of the best players in the league, and I think he's my favorite Blues player to ever. Like, he's my favorite ever Blues player. I love watching him when he's playing for Origin. But yeah, I have a feeling that Crichton will do a job.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he'd be solid. But it's just like when Latrell gets one on one with someone, like he's probably going to score on the line. Like he's just got that kind of talent and that kind of X factor that I don't think someone like Crichton brings. But I agree. Obviously, you know, he is coming in for an injured player. So it's not like, you know, he's first selected. But Sean, there was some talk about now Matt Barton is the 18th man. Would you have been more comfortable bringing someone like Barton to play center? Or are you happy that Crichton's the replacement?
It's a really hard question to answer, I think, because Matt Burton last year did play better than Crichton in the center position, in my opinion. But he'd also only played center 6 months before that, whereas now it's been almost 2 years since he last defended and played in the centers. I think him as 18th man is a good place because he can provide a lot more versatility than someone like Crichton, who is a natural outside back. So I think in this circumstance, it was a smarter choice to bring in Crichton and put Burton to 18th man, where we would have more versatility and utility if there was to be a reason to bring him on.
And Rockin, do you reckon the fact that Barton has that bomb on him, which you did see very recently up close and personal, do you reckon that might have been a reason to get him in the team? Because it's just such a point of difference, isn't it?
It's so hard to say. Like I would be happy with Burton at center. But the bomb, it's just, you can see what it can do at its best. I do still think, whilst as impressive as it is, it can backfire. And it backfired in Origin when he put up a Burton bomb. No one was able to catch it. It bounced back and went out at the 50. So the Queensland got possession at halfway. The reason I'd want Burton isn't necessarily for the bomb. It would be just he's such a good running center. Probably harder to tackle maybe than a Crichton would be. But yeah, I back. Fittler on this call, and hopefully the Blues get up, and it's not even a thing that we need to discuss next week.
And then who doesn't want to see Tino v Barton round two? I know that Tevita Panga Jr. sure does want to see that, along with every New South Welshman south of the border.
You know what's interesting about that rivalry? So I've been going back and watching a bunch of highlights from all sorts of Origins over the years. And I watched, I think it was the 2020 Origin under 20s, I think it was, from a few years ago. And Queensland got pumped by New South Wales. And Burton was, I think, the six in that side. And Tino was playing as well. And those two had like a rivalry. Like those two do not like each other. They got into push and shove there as well. And it's just sort of interesting because, I don't know, I feel like in a matchup with like a really talented six versus a prop, the six is always going to have the final laugh because they can, you know, they have a little bit more. Yeah, exactly. They can have a bit more of an impact on the game than just a prop.
Yeah, it's actually really interesting because that game, that was kind of Matt Barton's breakout game. Like, he actually wasn't really, like, the Penrith, they'd won the SG Bowl the year before. So he was, like, he was pretty good. But he wasn't picked originally to play in that game. I think it was Cooper Johns was picked instead of him. And then, like, I think Cooper Johns must have, like, pulled up with injury or something. Like, yeah, then Matt Barton literally had, like, three try assists. He played first grade, I think, like, 6 weeks later, and then he just went on to be such a good player. So, yeah, it's interesting how you look back at these 20s games and you see all these faces that are such big names now, but at the time they were just rookies that hadn't played NRL yet.
Yeah, so true.
I think any bit in Origin is always a great highlight, especially now that, you know, we can appreciate it more. Like, I remember being 8 years old and not really understanding why it was happening. And I would love to see another one.
I think we all...
I said this last week to Declan, but I have to reiterate it. I hate how much Queenslanders go like, yeah, no, Blues had Burton's back. It's like, fuck off. You attacked him in back play. Like, what do you want them to do? They were defending.
Yeah.
It's so irritating.
It's a bit annoying when the media, because the media have kind of like brought that up again. And yes, I understand that, you know, you know, like are like they should have they did Queensland did get one over them, and there should have been like a kind of get square somehow, but like it would have happened like pretty quickly. And yeah, I don't know.
The thing they keep saying is they're like, oh, they've got Tevita Pangai Jr. to be that enforcer that was missing. But is Payne Haas not the biggest enforcer in the NRL? Like, would he not be?
No, I wouldn't say. I wouldn't call Payne Haas like an enforcer like you would a Gordon Tallis or like a Shane Webb. Someone like that. Someone who's just like scary. And you're not going to mess with them. Like Payne Haas is just a freak athlete who's just going to run for 200 meters, play 60 minutes, tackle break. Yes.
No, he's scarier than Payne Haas.
Like obviously that they're all both incredibly scary human beings, but I just don't think that's Tino. I don't think that's Payne Haas's natural game to kind of like hit someone and hurt them, if that makes sense. But I think someone like Tevita Pangai Jr., he does have a bit of dog in his game that Payne Haas might not necessarily have. Like whether like, you know, Tevita Pangai Jr. can like, you know, balance that tightrope is another question, but he definitely does have that kind of I'm gonna hunt you down. I'm gonna get you. If that makes sense.
That aggressive play style.
Yeah. Like obviously they're all incredibly scary, and I wouldn't say anything to them if we were playing them in a game of touch. But
oh, mate, I wouldn't say something to Reece Walsh like that. Yeah, but I do understand what you're saying. But yeah, I don't know. It's gonna be very interesting. I'm excited to see a bunch of the matchups, the forward pack, the nine. I think where the game's going to be won and lost is the bench, to be honest. And I still maintain that I think that Queensland, I think they've made a change. I think Tino's starting in the front row now instead of coming off the bench, which doesn't really surprise me. Who have we got? So they've got Harry Grant, like that in itself, and how the Blues react to when Harry Grant comes on is going to probably be the single biggest interchange in the entire game. Sorry?
It's going to be the biggest spark.
100%. What time of the game do you reckon they'll bring Harry Grant on?
I would imagine like 20 minutes each side of the half, probably. So like
did they do a swap back and forth last time, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
So Ben Hunt's been starting and Harry Grant's coming off the bench. Anytime that Queensland have had a good win, I would say that those two are close to man of the match, to be honest.
So I think that'll be big. I think what could be big for New South Wales, but I'd call me pessimistic, but I just don't have a feeling that the Nicho Hynes is going to be. I feel like him coming on the field, I hope that it's at an important time in the game that he comes on and he's not sort of hidden. You know how sometimes coaches bring someone on with like 10 minutes left. And I think the plan is for him to play in the halves and Luai to move to nine. But I worry if it's a close game about our defense through the middle of the field, if those three are out there at the same time.
Yeah, Sean, do you think it's a bit of a tough ask for a playmaker that's used to playing the full 80 to come on and impact a game? Because obviously we're not like professional footy players, but I could only imagine it'd be really hard for those kind of spine players to like make their moments count where they're only on the field for a very limited amount of time. Would that be something that Brad Fittler might be a little bit worried about come tomorrow?
I think if anyone could do it, I think it is Nicho Hynes. I think the way he plays, where he likes to get his hands on the ball, he'll give himself chances and opportunities. I think the biggest thing, Bud, is that Fittler needs to manage his time correctly. We have a history, I think, the Blues of picking. We've picked a lot of players to play the utility role that have gotten very limited time. Dylan Walker, I think when he had game one, he got like 6 minutes. Crichton didn't even make the field one game. So there's lots of times where we pick the player and never use him. If he's going to do something, he needs to have at least 20, 25 minutes on that field minimum
to
get a feel for that game and really insert himself in.
That's a good point. All right, so we've kind of talked about it a little bit, but I want to ask both of you, what is the one thing that you think the New South Wales have over Queensland that is the reason they're going to win, and vice versa, what is the one reason that you think Queensland have a clear advantage that you think is going to get them the win? I'll start with you, Rutkin.
So something, that a reason why New South Wales is going to win and a reason why Queensland will?
No, just some clear advantage that both teams have over the other person in their respective lineups. So,
oh, okay. So like Tedesco over Reece Walsh or something like that.
Yeah, like, for example, like when the trail was playing, it was so clear that we had such a big advantage in the centres. And that is why I was kind of leaning towards New South Wales, because, you know, as a mismatch on both sides of the field for New South Wales. Obviously, it's changed now that Latrell's gone. And then for Queensland, you would say, well, obviously, they have Ben Hunt and Harry Grant, two Australian players that are just going to tear up the ruck if they're still in the game around that time when Harry Grant comes on. So those are kind of two things that stick out to me in terms of, like, advantages for both teams.
From Queensland, I think they have an advantage in the David Fifita v Tyson Frizzell matchup. Historically, the Titans with Fifita have had a lot of success with the Knights since he's been with the Titans, and he's scored a lot of tries on Frizzell. He knows how to use footwork and to get around him, and he's scored about, I'm not even exaggerating, like 5 or 6 tries on him in the last two seasons. So I imagine, obviously, Frizzell would be lifting to the occasion, but I think Fifita just has that X factor that I would be, I think there's a good chance he could potentially score a try or two on Frizzell's edge. Where we have a definite advantage, I think, I mean, it's hard to go past Tom Trbojevic on the hammer, but for a point of difference, I'm just going to say our wingers in general. To'o, you know, he'll do a job. You know what he's going to bring. And Josh Adokar, while he maybe hasn't been in the best form and is coming out of an injury, he's always good in a Blues jumper. Talagi's had a really kind of bad season so far with a struggling Cowboys pack. And Cobbo is sort of like Tevita Pangai Jr., but just on the wing in terms of, like, he can just do some incredible things, but just also have quite a few errors in his game as well. So that'll come back and bite me. Watch Cobbo score a hat trick.
Yeah. It's so funny because we haven't really even talked about how Luai called Cobbo a grub after he got knocked out in Origin. So that's going to be really...
Do you know why I think that's funny? Is I don't imagine we'll see that much come of that in the game. I don't know. Just like a winger against... like maybe they'll have a few like tackles on each other, but I don't know. They're just...
Well, they're playing against each other on the same edge, so they will probably, especially if Luai is playing hooker. If he comes on as a hooker, God, he's gonna get some tackles in for sure. But yeah, Sean, just kind of the same question to you: is there any clear tactical advantages you see from either side that's gonna win them the game come tomorrow night?
I think, as you said, Declan, for Queensland, it's hard to go past that Hunt Grant combination. It's worked really well for them before and worked well for Australia. And I think without a secondary 9 for us, we could find ourselves struggling in a fast ruck. But on the flip side, I think a big advantage we have is our fullback. We know how good Tedesco is offensively and also defensively, not just in himself, but also in organising the line of defence. Reece Walsh has a lot of flair, but defensively and organizing a defensive line, especially in a high pressure cauldron like Origin, it's a big test for him. So hopefully that's something we can exploit throughout the game.
Yeah, I think you make a really good point, Sean. I think Reece Walsh and his particular body type, I think it's something that New South Wales can definitely exploit with their kick chase. Like, kick him in the corners, kind of bash him a little bit and see if he'll crack under the pressure. So I think that's a really good point. All right, now it's time for predictions. So I want you both to give me a scoreline, a man of the match, and also a hot take or a Ruckman's crystal ball prediction for the game. So I'll start with you, Sean, because you look like you've got something.
Oh, no, I just love a Ruckman's crystal ball prediction. It's my favorite time. But I'll start. So I think the score will be a tight one. We're looking at something like 16-12, I think. I think man of the match will be Nathan Cleary. And my hot take is Hudson Young to thrive in his first game. I think he'll play really well and, you know, just be a really damaging threat on that edge.
All right, Ruckin.
I'm going to have Queensland winning 14-10. I'm going to have man of the match Cameron Munster. I know that's a bit boring. I'll have a more spicy Wally Lewis medalist prediction. And my crystal ball prediction is a two-parter. Number one is There will not be any sin bins in this game. Number two, this will be Tevita Panga Jr.'s first and only Origin ever.
Okay.
I feel like if there's not a sin binning of some sort, he hasn't done his job properly. They won't get him back.
Dude, you want a refund if there is no
sin. Yeah, I want a refund. That's why you're here, Tevita. It's to get you and someone else off the field for 10 minutes.
Oh my God, it's so funny. All right. So I'm going to go. I'm going to go Queensland 20 points to 10 with Harry Grant, man of the match for me. And yeah, just quickly before we move on to tips, yeah, we'll just cover our Wally Lewis medalists for the series, just our predictions. What do you reckon, Rutkin? You seem to have someone in mind.
I do. I've got in my head that it'll be Queensland are going to win it in the first two games and it'll be a dead rubber in the third. And my prediction is it's going to be, yeah, it's probably not that interesting, but I think Harry Grant's going to get the Wally Lewis medal.
Sean?
I think New South Wales will take it 2-1 this year.
Yes, sure.
I think Nathan Cleary will finally put that stamp that we've all been waiting for on Origin, get that Wally Lewis medal.
Yeah, I'm going to tip for my Wally Lewis medal. Like, I was going to say Harry Grant, but then Rutkin changed it. So I'm going to go Cameron Munster just to be a little bit different but boring as well. Cameron Munster, I think Rutkin's right. I think this series is a real... It's a lot of pressure on the Blues, isn't it, to win game one. And I'm just not sure that, like, we have the team to do it because, like, Queensland just look a little bit better on paper and they always rise to the occasion, even when they have a worse team on paper. So I can only imagine how tough it's going to be when they actually look, like, quite decent in the team sheet. So it's going to be a cracking game and I'm very excited to watch it with you guys.
I love it. It's so good. One thing quickly, sorry, Declan, I did want to get your opinion on the jerseys and the colour of it, the change. What do you think?
Well, I quite like them. I know it's not like traditionalist in the strict sense of the word, but do you remember in the COVID years they had that heritage jersey where it had that like bulldog on it? But like no one cared about that. It wasn't sky blue then, but then for some reason these navy blue jerseys are causing a bit of a stir. I just don't understand it. I quite like the jersey.
I think the Westpac logo is really ugly on it, but
oh yeah, no complaints from me there. But like the actual jersey itself is Do you have a problem with it, Sean?
I'm a traditionalist. I prefer the sky blue jersey, but I do agree with your point. We've used alternate jerseys before with no complaints. So why all of a sudden is it an issue?
Yeah, as long as it's just this and like it's not always going to be this, as long as we get the sky blue most of the time, I don't mind having the occasional alternate jersey.
Well, if we win by 50 as well, it's a good luck omen. What then?
Yeah, true. I'll take it.
I do think we've won all our games in that jersey, in that dark navy jersey so far. So
yeah, they've played in that jersey before in like 2019, didn't they?
Well, the Tom Trbojevic Perth game was in that dark blue jersey where he scored 3 tries.
Yeah, so why? That's why I'm confused. Like, where's all this coming from now? Yeah. Like, of all the things to talk about in Origin, like, it's just strange.
I will say this. I do back their stance to say, no, we're not changing it because it's already been done. We've done it before. Mm. I do back that stance from them.
Well, that'd be a massive pain in the ass, wouldn't it, for someone in the admin in New South Wales headquarters. But yeah, I'm so excited for the game. Like, we'll be keen to like fully dissect it next Tuesday. But for now, obviously, there's still a round of NRL to go. So are you guys keen on some tips?
Sure am.
All right.
Just put mine in so I can do this.
Okay. So we got the Tigers v. the Raiders at Camberdown Stadium.
This is a really tough one because both of you guys are sort of coming into form right at this time. Both teams played last week, right? Or did Tigers have the bye?
We had the bye.
Because of that, I'm going to tip you guys. I'm going to tip Tigers, but I think it'll be a close one.
Sean?
As much as I'd love to tip us, I think the Raiders will just get the job over us. But I'm hoping for a close contest.
Yeah, I'm going to tip the Raiders as well just because I don't have it in my heart to tap the Tigers yet. It's interesting though, Talon to Silva, named in the 22-man squad, very talented SG ball player, hooker for us, extremely talented and definitely a future first grader. So any Tigers fans listening now, definitely keep an eye out for him. Obviously, he's only in the 22, but if Appy pulls out for Origin, apparently there's every likelihood that he could come off the bench for his debut. So just one to keep an eye on for that one. All right.
Right. So just mention one thing before we move on. It pissed me off so much that Jack Whiten retired from Origin and people are like, oh, he's a Queenslander, would never do that while they can still play footy. And then fucking Papali'i a few weeks later is the same thing and then just no one says anything. It's like, are you serious? That's so annoying.
But yeah, they're hypocrites. What can you say?
Like classic Queenslanders.
Yep. Yep. All right. So Warriors v Dolphins up at in New Zealand, I believe.
This is such a weird game to tip as well. I'm going to tip the Warriors with the hope that there'll only be one streaker this game instead of eight.
What about you, Sean?
I'm also going to tip the Warriors this week.
Yeah, I'm going to go Warriors. I think it's going to be a close game, though. All right. Now, the most important game of the week by far.
Gresmore Cup.
The Gresmore Cup, yeah. The Gold Coast Titans v the South Sydney Rabbitohs. What do you reckon about this one, Rutkin? No South Sydney Origin players, but then no, like, Fifita or Tino. Unless, have they been named? Oh, they have been named.
Everyone's been named. Literally everyone. Except Latrell, obviously, because he's injured.
Like, do you reckon they'll back up? Or, like, what's the feel there?
It's going to be really hard to see. I don't know. Tino will back up off the bench. I can imagine Fifita being rested. I reckon Cameron Murray will probably... I don't know. I'm not sure. We'll have to see. But one thing I do find interesting is that it's Jaden Campbell's first game at 5'8". So yeah. I think that's going to be really interesting. I don't need a perfect game from him, but I want to see enough to see that, like, he could have a future there for us.
I'm very excited to see him at 6.
Sorry?
Very excited to see him at 6, see how he goes.
Yeah, definitely. So hopefully there's good signs. That's all I'm looking for in this game.
All right, who are you tipping?
I'll tip the Rabbitohs.
Well, what about you, Sean?
I'm also tipping the Rabbitohs.
Oh, okay. Zach just messaged me and he's tipping the Rabbitohs. All right.
of course he is.
Okay. The Cronulla Sharks v the Brisbane Broncos. Who we got?
Sharks.
Yeah, I got Sharks as well. Like you just said that Hines is going to back up because I can't imagine he'd have a lot of minutes for an Origin, so I assume he's going to back up. Sean, are you going Sharks as well?
Yeah, Sharks. I think the Broncos will really feel the Origin sting.
Yeah. All right. Roosters, Bulldogs. Can you believe that the Roosters have named Junior Perriga in their team? That just shows how much they're struggling this season. All respect to him, obviously, but my God.
Didn't send it for us. Jeez.
Oh, God.
Choosing the Roosters.
Oh, you're going the Roosters, are you?
Yeah.
Okay. Sean?
I'm going on the Bulldogs. I think they'll surprise everyone.
Yeah, I'm feeling a bit of an upset as well, Sean. I can't lie. I'm tempted to go with you. I'm just looking at the team list here. Yeah, I'm going to tap the upset. I think the Roosters have been a lot of noise coming out there. That's not usually what you would assume comes from the Roosters at this time of the year. But yeah, I'm going to tap the Bulldogs as well. All right, Cowboys Storm, what do we reckon?
I reckon Storm, we're just about out of time, Declan. So we'll blast through these last two.
Storm. All right, and Penrith Dragons.
Penrith.
And that's it from us for this Origin preview. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you for Sean for coming on off the bench. Sean, I hope you had a good time.
Yeah, I did. It was a lot of fun. Hopefully, I've given the impact that this podcast needed.
Oh, mate, you played big minutes, Sean. To be honest, you like Tom Dearden in Game 3 last year. You came in. No one was expecting much, but you did your job well.
I'm being compared to a Queenslander, but so be it.
Right.
Or your contract.
Yeah, Sean's like, so how much am I getting paid? Like,
Sean's gonna be the new Stephen A. Smith of this podcast. He's gonna come in and be like, you chose Stephen Crichton. What?
Just waiting for my endorsement deal and my shoe deal from Nike.
Oh, I love it. A shoe deal for a podcast. That would be the day, wouldn't it? Sean's like, I'm wearing Nikes. They look good. Trust me.
Trust me. Too good. All right, boys. Thank you very much. And up the mighty Titans.
Up the Blues.
Up the Blues as well.